Good afternoon and welcome to MoneyWeb at Midday. My name is Chris Gilmore and we've got an action-packed show for you today. In the next 15 or 20 minutes, Chantelle Marks, Head of Research at FNB Wealth and Investments, is our market commentator this afternoon, and she's going to be unpacking what is relevant in the market today. Then we're talking to Clicks CEO David Neal, who is stepping down at the end of the year after a highly successful tenure at the helm of Clicks. And then following on from the President's remarks about encouraging tourism in order to create more jobs in South Africa, we talked to David Frost, the CEO of South African Tourism Services Association. So that could be quite interesting. Now, after a period of going nowhere slowly, as most other global equity markets have left it wallowing, the JSE has been showing some distinct signs of life today. Perhaps in anticipation of the long-awaited stimulus plan from the President, the Aussie has risen by more than 1% this morning. So welcome return to positivity, and long may it continue. So as far as the indicators are concerned, as I said this morning earlier there, we were talking about the all-share index being up 1.02%, and then we're looking at last night we saw the S&P 500 hitting an all-time high of 2,930.75, and the Dow Jones Industrial Index 2666. I don't like the way that comes out. The 666. That's the symbol of the beast. 2666.1.72. Dow futures also looking better today, and the Far Eastern markets were up this morning. As far as the currency is concerned, the Rand is going quite a bit stronger. It was going stronger yesterday, but that has carried on. And now we're looking at the US dollar Rand at 14.26 against the pound, just over 19, against the euro 16.87. So generally speaking, looking quite good on that front. Our market commentator today, Chantelle Marks, as I said earlier. Chantelle, do you agree with my sentiments that perhaps we're starting to see a bit of a turnaround? Here's a market that's gone sideways pretty much for 5 years and hasn't really outperformed inflation.
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult to say because sentiment across the world has been quite positive this week. Kind of stresses around the trade war being put on hold and investors rather opting to focus on economic data, which has proven to remain quite buoyant, particularly in developed markets. And this has also resulted in some positive sentiment flowing towards emerging markets. And the Rand move up until this morning, at least, was very much driven by a slightly weaker dollar, as well as a stronger sentiment towards emerging markets in general. I mean, you would have seen the Argentinian peso appreciate, the Indian rupee, along with the rest of those currencies. Today has been very interesting, though, because we have seen the Rand strengthen quite a bit into the announcement by President Cyril Ramaphosa around the stimulus package. And while he was speaking, the Rand was also strengthening quite a bit. And this has been very supportive for South African Inc. shares, because particularly for banks. Today was also quite interesting because the stimulus package spoke quite a bit around infrastructure. So we actually saw some of these poor construction shares rebounding quite strongly. And yeah, I mean, positive sentiment around reforms suggested in the telecommunications sector and the tourism sector as well, as you mentioned earlier.
That's interesting. I mean, we've heard so much in the past about infrastructure, and yet in terms of a tangible outcome, there's been very little to get excited about. Do you think this time it could be different?
Yeah, I mean, so one of the things that excited me quite a bit was the fact that we're going to have a centralized infrastructure fund. So a lot of inefficiency in infrastructure expenditure comes from the fact that there's a little bit of a central budget for national government, and then there are provincial budgets and there are municipal budgets. And very often they are spent very inefficiently, or they end up not being spent at all. You also have a larger probability of some skimming off the top when it comes to siloing your infrastructure expenditure. And what's going to happen here is everything's going to be lumped together. And it's not only going to be the kind of the cash investment from government, but they're also talking about equity financing and debt financing, levering up that fund in order to actually get more tangible outcomes. So I think a lot of this will probably depend on the type of people you get to run that fund. But knowing the president, or believing that I know the president, I'm sure he will leave it in very capable hands.
I don't know about you, but I was actually quite surprised and quite impressed the way he handled this whole thing, in the sense that this gave the impression of a no-nonsense type of approach. after many years of some of his predecessors, you know, rambling on and talking about in vague generalities. This was cutting to the quick and getting down to the core of the issue.
Yes, and I think what's also very impressive is the fact that he's taking quite a hard line leading into the election. So really kind of making tangible changes and tangible moves to policy certainty, which we didn't think he was going to do until after the general election next year. So this is kind of a positive surprise for the market. We were expecting things to kind of just hobble along until May next year.
Yeah. Okay, so bottom line, do you think this, you know, provided, of course, that we don't get any nasty surprises coming in from offshore, do you think this is going to help to give a bit of a boost to the market on a sustained basis?
So, I mean, for now, it's all sentiment driven. The sustainability of that will be very much based on whether or not these programs actually get implemented, when they get implemented, and how successfully they are implemented. And once we can actually see tangible change and we can see investment, that's when the real difference will come through from a market perspective.
Okay. So, look, I mean, I'm certainly looking forward to that. And I think, you know, we've been waiting, as I say, for so long that a lot of people are getting tired, and a lot of people, a lot of portfolio managers have been actually changing their attention to offshore because they haven't been getting the returns here. Maybe that's going to change. Maybe the SA Inc. becomes a little bit more more optimistic.
Well, I mean, most fund managers are very constrained in terms of how much they can take offshore to begin with. So I think that you probably won't see a move away from quite a heavy offshore allocation relative to what your prudential limits are, because it does help diversify your portfolio. But perhaps portfolio management within South Africa could become a little bit more dynamic and a little bit more excited about the future.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much, Chantel. We'll come back to you in a moment, I guess. But at this point in time, we're going to go across to David Neal. David, good afternoon. Welcome to MoneyMouth. Thank you very much for taking our call.
Pleasure.
You know, Clicks has had a remarkably stable CEO base going back to the days of June Kritzinger in the 1980s, and then Trevor Honeysett in the 90s, and in the early part of last decade, and then you. But, you know, I think you inherited a bit of a mess at Clicks when you took over, and it was something of a Herculean task that you and Keith Warburton got involved in, just to reinstate the management information systems, for example. What attracted you to take over at Clicks, you know, given the fact that things weren't going quite as they should have been when you took over?
Look, I've worked for Boots in the UK for over 20 years, and so the opportunity to join a chain that had so much growth potential, which is what I saw in Clicks in the early 2000s when we were only just beginning to get into pharmacy. That was really what attracted me. So it was the opportunity to get the business into shape. But you could see the growth opportunities if we got it right, which we've tried to do over the last 13 years and indeed are still doing.
And very successfully too, absolutely. And I think, you know, that is reflected in the fact that you've got such a high, you know, premium, one of the highest premium ratings of any retailer in the country. Noticeable by its absence at Clicks is any meaningful push into the rest of Africa. Is that a deliberate policy, or have you just not been able to find suitable sites?
No, it's a deliberate policy, and it comes back to the opportunities for organic growth in South Africa. We've got around 600 stores in South Africa today. We think there's the opportunity to grow the base by, frankly, another 50% to get to 900 stores. And I think retailers typically look outside their home territory when they have gone X growth in their home territory, and we are a long way away from that.
Okay, so again, I suppose that does go a long way in explaining that very rarefied premium that you're currently on. Clicks Club Card, you know, you were one of the first retailers to get into the loyalty card business in a big way, and yet we don't hear an awful lot about it. Presumably it's doing the job it was intended to, mining the spending patterns of cardholders and helping with stock control, all of those good things.
Yeah, look, I mean, it actually is voted South Africa's number one loyalty program. We've got over 7.5 million active users. Last year, we gave back $320 million in cash back to our customers. It's extraordinarily popular. It accounts for 75% of our sales. And, of course, we've got great affinity partners now. So you fill up your tank with Shell, and you'll get a club card point for every litre of petrol you put in.
Yes, well, I was going to just touch on that. The fact that your great affinity partners you talk about, I mean, you've got Discovery and the Oracle, that's more to do with the UPD side of things and all that kind of stuff. But I think you've been remarkably successful in partnering with so many interesting companies out there.
And that's been a deliberate strategy. I mean, Discovery, you've referenced Shell, obviously. Sorbet is another very important affinity partner for us. And, of course, we've now launched ranges of Sorbet products in Click stores, for example, Sorbet Cosmetics, which has started very successfully.
Okay. The current configuration of Clicks, you know, it's fascinating. It's really quite unique. But and you're probably not going to like this question, but the inclusion of Musica, I've always seen that as somewhat incongruous. Okay, it's been a reasonable performer. Do you think that's going to stay in future?
Look, Musica, we've acknowledged, is a heritage business. We've had the for sale sign up for quite a while, but with no takers. What we've said is that we'll run that business as long as it's profitable. So we've taken cost out, we've closed a number of stores, but still we've got 100 stores, all of which are profitable. And so that still makes sense for us.
Yeah, okay. So just really going back to the fact that you are so highly rated. I mean, your results have been very, very solid over a number of years. And as I say, I think, you know, you have taken it to far greater heights than any of your predecessors ever did. If at this point in time, you know, with you stepping down, what would you pinpoint as being the major factors that have got you there to this very, very rarefied level of rating in the market?
Well, look, I mean, I think the point about our rating is that 70% of our shareholding is held offshore. So why are we attractive to international investors? That's because they look at the drugstore model, which is a resilient model around the world in the face of online growth. And they see in Clicks a business that's got the opportunity to grow in its home territory, which they view as safe. And they also, if they look at our financial metrics, they see an operating margin that is world class. And a country, actually, with great corporate governance. And that's a tribute, I think, to the JSE and the work that they do. So in that sense, they view us as an emerging market, but they actually view South Africa pretty favorably and us favorably within it. What makes our model work? Well, it's actually about keeping it simple. We're price competitive. We've got a differentiated product offer. We've got a great rewards program. We're convenient. And we offer good customer service. Those are the basics of retail, and we try and do that well.
Well, as a consumer, I must say, I think you do it extremely well. David, you're stepping down. Are you retiring as such?
I am indeed retiring, yes. I reach my formal retirement age next year, but I'm standing down now because I thought that it could potentially be distracting for the business to speculate for 12 months about whether he'll go, whether he'll stay, what the change will make. We've got a clear strategy. We need to get on and deliver that. And there's a successor in Vikesh Ramsunda who's ready and equipped to take over. So I'll step down on January the 1st next year. Vikesh will take over. I'll remain as a strategic advisor until my formal retirement date, but yeah, so yes, this is retirement.
David, thank you very much indeed, and best wishes on your retirement. I'm sure you'll be still very active in the business field, though.
Thank you very much. Look forward to it. Bye-bye.
As I said earlier in the preamble, the new measures that have been announced by the presidency regarding tourism may well be very, very positive indeed. And in that regard, on the line now, we've got David Frost, who's the CEO of the South African Tourism Services Association, SATSA. Good afternoon, David.
Hi, Chris. How are you going?
Good, thanks. And yourself?
Very well. Even better after the announcement by the president.
Indeed. You know, it's been a long time in coming, but some of these measures, do you think they're going to have any long-term meaningful impact on the tourist industry?
Indeed. I mean, not only long-term. They'll have an effect as soon as we can communicate them effectively into the marketplace. So the the first ones that we are enthused and really happy about is the significant redressing of the unabridged birth certificate requirements. I mean, to our mind, an absolute nonsense in the first place. And we've been under the cosh for the last 3 years. In the first year, 13,000 people were turned away from points of embarkation in airports as a result of these regulations. So this, as we understand it, will apply to the inbound market. It still, however, applies to outbound travel, which makes absolutely no sense to us. So whilst we welcome them, we don't want to be churlish, we've got to be quite clear with government about where we still need to bring some pressure to bear, and that's the one area. But having said that, clearly these were just a huge impediment to people traveling with families or single parents traveling with children. So what we need to do is to go out and effectively communicate this into our key sort of source markets. It would have been nice if the president could have given us some money to go and do that, but maybe that's a subsequent discussion.
Yeah, I mean, that's been a problem for many, many years. I remember back in the 1980s going to a presentation by Saul Kirzner, to the Afrikaanse Handelsinstituut back in about 1985 sometime, and it was a problem then, and it's a problem now. That really isn't nearly as well-financed as it could be. And is that perhaps one of the reasons why South Africa punches well below its weight on the global tourism scale?
Well, look. I mean, I think when you look at the allocations that we get for tourism, considering its role in the economy, we would, from our perspective, argue that we would like to see significantly more money invested. And we think that when you consider what we've, as tourism, contributed to the economy over the last 15 years, relative to some of the more resource-based sectors that are looking quite moribund at the moment, that there's a clear return on investment for the country there. But having said that, the new locus of competitiveness is not so much the size of your marketing budget, it's around the ease of access. So the other component to the president's message today that we welcome is this review of the whole visa regime. But what we didn't hear from him, and I was really hoping he was going to do, is just to, one of the key examples was this churlish tit-for-tat imposition of visa requirements on New Zealand. It makes no sense at all. He could have abolished that today. He could have also abolished the visa requirements from the countries like the UAE, because the sooner those are done away with, the sooner we start getting business. As we understand it now, it's going to be a review process, and this may take another 5 to 8 months. And we really are behind the eight ball with the economy. So the sooner we get to action and stop, talking about doing things, the sooner we can deliver tourists, and the sooner we can make a contribution to the economy.
Okay. Just on that point, I mean, what is the going rate these days in terms of how many genuine new sustainable tourists does South Africa need to create one new permanent job? I was always of the impression it was about 15 to 20 or thereabouts.
Yeah. There's sort of the various economic factors. I think it's around 20 to 23 tourists create one job. But the other two markets that I really need to talk about is India and China, and that's where we really need some decisive action. And we know what the problems are. They're capacity constraints in both markets, and these are the two fastest growing international markets, and we are absolutely stagnating and have done so for the last 5 years in both markets. Our major competitor, Australia, just outpaces us by a country mile. We get 90,000 Chinese arrivals last year. They got 1.3 million, and it's still a 10-hour flight from Beijing into Sydney. So, the Chinese thing needs attention. India, we grew 20% year on year from 2008 to 2012. We were at 106,000 arrivals in 2012. And last year, we went backwards to 97,000. The Aussies get 3.5 times that. So These are areas where we need decisive action. So we support what the president's doing, and I want to pay tribute to our Minister of Tourism, Derek Hanekom. He's fought a dogged fight inside cabinet, which has not always been receptive, I might add, to these changes. But it's great that the president has pulled this together. So I'm just saying we're incredibly supportive, but at the same time, we've got to keep the pressure on, and I think we need to be doing things very quickly and not in the next sort of 5 to 8 months.
David, many, many thanks for your insights and pulling that all together, and hopefully this is going to be much more of a work in progress for you guys, so I guess you're going to be burning the midnight oil for quite some time to come. Thanks again.
Thank you, Chris.
Chantelle, just in the wake of that, what do you see? Do you see the tourism industry, and I'm talking about things like hotels, car hire, maybe airlines, starting to pick up to an extent?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't actually aware of that that ratio, that 23 arrivals to one job. That is incredibly scalable from a job creation perspective. And it really needs attention. And I mean, just before the show, we were speaking about relaxing visa requirements, and David just also mentioned that the Chinese story. I mean, if we can benefit from inbound travel from China into South Africa, I mean, if we can move anywhere close to where the Australians are, can you imagine the amount of jobs created? So, yes, absolutely, certainty, and then as we mentioned earlier with the infrastructure as well, proof of implementation, it'll go a long way.
Fantastic. Well, there we go. We've unfortunately come to an end. We could have chatted, I think, about that all day. This has been MoneyWeb at Midday. My name's Chris Skillmore. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you on next week.